Is that anybody's testimony in here today? I said, is that anybody's testimony in here today? Sit down, devil, sit down. Anybody ever felt like people wrote you off? People left you alone. People discounted you, discredited you. Amen. But God was still with you. Anybody in here? Anybody ever been to the place where all you had was you and God? Come on. Come on. Come on. Anybody been there? You make one mistake. People want to crucify you. Come on. People want to disqualify you as if they could. But God always reminds you that we belong to Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you. We honor you. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We magnify you in this place. Lord, we come to make your name great. We come to extol you and adore you, Father. We've come because we love you. Lord, we have not come just to worship, because we are worshipers. We've come because this is where worshipers gather. We are worship. Father, we lift up our lives to you once again. Search our hearts, Father God. If there's anything in there that is not like you, God, cleanse us. I say it again, God, cleanse us. Wash us over again in the precious blood of the Lamb. Father God, lead us through your word today. I pray, Father, that you would walk me through this journey. I thank you for your hand. I thank you for these, your people. I thank you, God, that you love them in such a precious way. And I declare blessings in this place in the name of Jesus. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Has anybody in here ever been to Bermuda? Oh, you've been to Bermuda. Few people been to Bermuda. Anybody here from Bermuda? I don't want to overlook. Hallelujah. Well, I've never been. Praise God. I've never been to Bermuda, but I've seen pictures, and I do want to go to Bermuda one day. The beaches and the sand look so peaceful in Bermuda. The colors and the people seem to always be smiling in Bermuda. Amen. Doesn't look like Jersey. Even the sun looked like a different sun in Bermuda. Hallelujah. But I want to share some interesting facts about Bermuda that some of us may not know. Bermuda is a self-governing British overseas territory of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. This means that Queen Elizabeth of England is the reigning monarch of the territory of Bermuda. And the United Kingdom administers Bermuda internationally. Even Queen Elizabeth II's face is printed on one side of the Bermuda's money. Some interesting facts about Bermuda. In Bermuda, there are no embassies because they are not politically independent. This arrangement does not mean that Bermuda is indebted to Great Britain in that it has to pay taxes to England. This is a voluntary agreement between Bermuda and Great Britain. Bermuda operates as an independent country for the most part. However, the United Kingdom is responsible for the foreign relations, they're responsible for finance, They're responsible for good governance and general administration of the territory. But this here is the key that I want us to take with us today. The United Kingdom is exclusively responsible for the defense and security of Bermuda. Bermuda does not have a formal military. Just think about that for a minute. They do not have a formal military. They have a small regime that kind of handles local things. But if Bermuda gets attacked, Bermuda says, oh, England, we're going to need your help. We're going to need you, the United Kingdom, to come here because you're responsible for us. You are the one who is responsible for our security. So Bermuda has a kingdom that is responsible to fight for them. But I come to tell you today that Bermuda ain't got nothing on us. Okay. Good morning. Y'all all look good. Bermuda, they got a kingdom. They can just pick up the phone, send a dove, whatever it is. When they get in trouble. And the United Kingdom is responsible for them. But I say again that Bermuda ain't got nothing on us. They ain't got nothing on us. Because we are a part of a kingdom too. Does anybody know that? Come on here. Where the kingdom citizens at? Where the kingdom citizens at? We got a kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. And there ain't no king like our king. Ooh, that just felt good in my mouth. There ain't no king like our king. Glory to God. Turn with me to Psalm 24. And I want us to read this together. Can you please stand? If you have NIV, I want you to have NIV. If you're pulling it up on your smartphones and iPads, iPhones, all of that, try to have the NIV. We're going to need everyone to have a Bible in front of them. Hallelujah. Psalm 24. We're going to read together this song. We're going to read it like we did earlier, responsively, because this is going to be an interactive message today. Hallelujah. Again, everyone who's able, we want to stand and honor the reading of God's holy word in this house. Does everybody have the word of God in front of them? I'll wait for you because I want us to be together on one accord. Psalm 24. I'll read the first verse, you read the second verse, the tenth verse we will read together. Read like you know what you're talking about. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Ten together. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I hope you took an opportunity to let that scripture run through your mouth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This psalm opens up with declarations about the Creator God. In these first two verses, the psalmist takes a moment to remind the readers that the earth is the Lord's. The Lord created it and established it. The Lord furnished it, and the Lord populated it. From the very beginning, it is to be known that everything that we see, everything that we touch, everything that we have is of God, because of God, and for God. Let us not think that the heavens only are the Lord's. No, the earth is His as well. We can refer back to Genesis and the creation story of how God, he not only spoke, but he spoke and the chaos was ordered to line up. And then he spoke and the waters had to flow back to their rightful position. And he spoke and the birds of the air had to take flight. And the animals began to walk the earth. And the sun, the moon, and the stars, they were hung in the sky in just the right places. And time was finally given a description. Yes, even the earthworm is under God's dominion. The Lord told the trees where to sprout and told the mountain to rise up and the valley to lay down. Oh, yes, all that we know about this life was conceived from the mind of God and was birthed through God's lips. Everyone who finds life on this earth was created by God and belongs to God. Every nation, every people, every tribe is here only by the spoken word of God. There is no group, there is no nation, there's no religion that can put claim on God as exclusively theirs. None. Because God is the God of all things. Yes, black people, brown people, white people, red people, Catholics and Muslims, Quakers and atheists, all of us belong to God. Now, don't get it confused. All of us may not serve God. But we all belong to God. We all may not follow God, but you cannot disconnect yourself from belonging to God. The psalmist is very clear. And it's amazing that though this is a psalm that the Jews knew quite well, and they sang it in their worship services, they never really understood the reality that all people belong to God. They wanted people to come and be like them and take on their laws and look like them and act like them in order for them to be God's people. They were upset with Paul's ministry to the Gentiles because they wanted a religion of exclusion, only allowing the nation of Israel to claim God as a personal God. I don't know about anybody else in here, but I'm glad that I belong to God. I'm glad that the Israelites didn't have their way and didn't have their choice because then I'd be left out. Do I have a witness in here? I'm glad that I belong to God. I'm glad that nobody can exclude me and nobody can keep me out. I'm glad that I belong to God. I'm glad that the Lord died for the sin of the world. I'm glad that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And I, a sinner and a wretch undone, a black sister from Fayetteville, North Carolina, I got in underneath that blood. I belong to God. You belong to God. I'm so glad that can't nobody turn it around. I'm glad that before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain for my redemption. Anybody else glad they belong to God? Okay, that's three people. I know you're probably contemplating, but I want you to really get it into your mind because contrary to what people say, you belong to God. You are His and He is You belong to God. He is the Creator God. Not only is He the Creator God, but He's also the Holy God. He's divinity. He's sovereign. He's set apart. He stands alone. There's nobody like him. There's nobody that can pull his coattail. There's nobody that can challenge him. There's nobody that can say, what doest thou? There's nobody that can stay his hand. I'm telling you, he is. Holy God. And we must not approach him casually or without regard to who God is. We got to be careful coming into his presence. The psalmist poses two questions for us. In verse 3, he says, who may ascend the mountain, or you might have the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? This ascension is not so much a literal going up on a mountainside, but this is a spiritual distinction that is being made. What are the qualifications for a person to come into the presence of God? What? Of the qualifications. It's not about soprano, alto, tenor. It ain't about what color flag you got. It's not about any of that. What qualifies us to come into the presence of God? Or can we just get up in the morning and do what we want to do and then just say, well, here, God, here I am, and bless me indeed, and do it for me, Jesus, and have thine way in my life, and then go on about our way? Who is qualified to go into the presence of God? It's not only about who may come into the Lord's presence, but it's also about who the Lord may bring into his presence. It's not just only on our initiative, because we are not that good. Let's not forget that God is still in charge. So it's not just about when we want to get into his presence, but are you qualified when he wants to call you forth? When he wants to reach down and bring you up, are you prepared? Huh? Are you ready? Oh, Lord. Are you ready? I don't know about anyone else in here, but there is no other feeling than when God sweeps you up into his presence. I'm minding my business, and I might just start humming a tune, and then it get real good to me. And then all of a sudden, God done taken me up, took me up somewhere. Anybody been there? Y'all quiet on me today. Y'all quiet on me today. Anybody else been there? Well, before you know it, when you come out of it, you rocking and crying, and just everybody looking at you like, sis, you all right? God gonna do it? No, he just did it, baby. You don't know when he takes you up into his presence. Oh, glory to God. Yes. You ain't got no control over it. You ain't got no say-so. He just take you on up. He said, come up here, sit on my lap for a little bit. Let me talk to you a little bit. Come on, somebody. Come on. Am I the only one? Come on, somebody. But you got to be ready. Yeah, in his presence there's serenity and there's peace and there's a joy. Oh, the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy that fills my soul. The joy when I'm in his presence. There is a joy that fills my soul, and sometimes it causes me to weep from the overflow of my heart. Oh, to be caught up to the mountain of the Lord. David, the psalmist, quickly identifies the characteristics or the qualifiers that God is looking for. Notice that it says, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, yeah, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Yeah, what is not said here is the one that goes to church every Sunday. I love it. Because you could be here 52 Sundays of the year, just be as filthy as you want to be. Your heart can be just as full of wickedness as you want to be. And you could have your own personal chair and not be qualified. Let's notice. Let's notice that it's not the Church of God in Christ or the Seventh Day Adventist. It's not the Muslim or the Jew. No, it's the one whose hands are clean and their heart is pure. It's the one who has not bowed down to idol gods or has cast their allegiance to false gods. We know about them. Come on here. It's the one that's not entertaining all that worldly stuff throughout the week, behind closed doors, in the dark, when everybody done gone to sleep, sliding in and out the DMs, calling people, texting people, while your wife, your husband's sleeping beside you. Matthew 5 and 8 says it this way. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach it today. It's not exclusive to the pastor. And it's not only for the priest. It's not even just for the perfect person. This is not about perfection. It's about surrendering your life. That's what it's about. It's not about the one who walks all the time in excellence. It's not about that. It's just about a clean heart, clean hands, a pure heart. We all mess up. God knows that. But it's when we don't acknowledge what we're doing. It's when we act like we ain't done what we done and we still come in here. Oh, glory be to God. I declare I'm free. Yes, I'm free indeed. No, you ain't. You bound up just like two shoelaces. You tied up, tangled up. Tied up. And not interested in getting out of it until you get real burdened, and then it's God, bring me out. It's not God, forgive me. It's not God, clean me up. It's not God, please, please have mercy on me because I know I'm in error. It's God, bring me out. Do it, Jesus, right now, God. Oh, Lord, yes. Come on now. Oh, my God. If y'all knew how I labored with this word, my God. My God, who can ascend the mountain of the Lord? Maybe sometimes you ought to check yourself. If you're in a dry place for an extended period of time, maybe you just ought to check the last time you took a dip in the fountain. Sometimes the Lord will lead us by his spirit into the wilderness. But I think more times than not, we just keep walking back in there on our own. Oh, y'all. Y'all, I ain't going to call y'all names. Just, I promise you. If you can't say amen, just say, ouch. Lord, help me. Just something. But many times we find ourselves in dry places because we have not cleansed ourselves. And we keep piling on the dirt and piling on the dirt and piling on the dirt. And then we try to come in here corporately and it's like a heaviness in here. And everybody looking at their neighbor like, you going to bring us up? No, you going to bring us up? I ain't got it today. What you got? Because I ain't got it. I can't go up. Can you go up? Somebody got to be able to go up. Who can pull us up the mountain? Because I can't go up. I can't go up. I can't go up. If we were cleansing ourselves, we come in here on the mountain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'd be on the mountaintop when we come in here. But we're waiting on somebody to pull us on up. Do you got it today, brother? Who's a worship leader? I hope they got it. Can they pull us on up? Can we get in position? Can we go back and dip once again in the blood so that we can ascend unto the mountain of God? Bless the name of the Lord. This ascension is available to those who are devoted to God and God alone. There has to be a singleness of mind. There has to be a singleness of mind. Belief that there is only one God and that only one God can sit on the one throne of my heart. There's only one God and that one God is the only God that can sit on the throne of my heart. It's got to be a singleness of mind. It's nothing new to know that God's people struggle with being loyal and exclusive to God. Every time you turned around, they were dipping and dabbling. Every time you turned around, they were compromising. Every time you turned around, they had a little something extra. God said, go in and take the nation and don't take none of their stuff. Well, he don't mind if I take this pen. It's a nice pen. I'm gonna write all my scriptures with this pen unto him. I'm gonna write in my prayer journal with this pen. He don't mind if I take this pen. It's always a little mixing. It's always a little compromise. It's always a little compromise in there. They continued to go into captivity because they would turn away from God. So it was a cycle like none other. Over and over and over and over. Over. Then they would get in a bond and they would cry out to God and God would raise up a king and the king would bring them out, raise up a judge and the judge would get them out and then they'd be like, oh, thank you. Then when that judge died, they'd be like, well, time to party. And then they go into captivity, they cry out to God, God would raise up a judge, the judge would bring them on out. They'd be like, oh, thank you, judge. That judge would die, they'd be like, hey, ho. Over, over, and over again, they would compromise. And over again, God would lovingly call them back to him and remind them of who he was to them and what he had done to them. Anybody had a time when God had to remind you, baby girl, don't you remember what I did last year? Why are you over there? Don't you remember we just came out of that last year? You mean to tell me, same fool, different face, you're going to go right back into that? Don't you remember when I made a way? Wait a minute. Don't you remember when you were going to lose your, don't you remember? Don't you remember? It was me. Come on, y'all ain't going to talk back. Ain't nobody gonna be real. You could just maybe lift a finger. You know, God would lovingly remind us who he was. All I need is really just three people who would say, yeah, 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 yeah. I've been there. I've been there with my dusty self. I've been there. I've been there with my dirt all under my fingernails. I've been there. I've been there. I've been there. Just three people. Just say, yes, 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 yes. I have been there. All behind my ears. I tried to hide it. But I've been there. Yeah. Chasing status and chasing position, chasing money and chasing fleshly pleasure, chasing skirts and chasing muscles. I mean, just chasing status and promotion, just chasing things that make us feel better, things that make us look better, things that we thought make us smell better, things that we thought would make us just be presentable, more presentable. We didn't chase God, but we chased things. We chased things. I hope somebody praying for me. Compromising to fit in and to get over. Yeah. Chasing ease and comfort. Mixing and mingling our God principles with the world principles. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on. I don't know why I have to give to the kingdom. How am I going to do that and get my Beyonce tickets? How? How am I going to do that? How am I going to give this much, this small amount, when I've been waiting and planning. And they told me she coming in 2019. I'm already. I done called my girlfriends, girl, you know we going, girl, come on. Get your freakum dress. Come on. Come on. And be selfieing. And be selfieing. No shame. No shame. No shame. Beyonce don't need your money. How many times you gonna help pay that mortgage and everybody else's mortgage and all her people's meals? And how many times? How many times? God bless you, sis. How many times? How many times? They don't need that. It's so funny because if I remember the word of God, if I remember correctly, it says the wealth of the righteous is stored up with the wicked, right? The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. But the righteous always giving their money out. Okay. We just pouring our money out. Okay. I heard you. Somebody squealed in the spirit. Okay. So halfway in the church and halfway in the world. And we get dirt on our hands. And our hands become unclean. My grandson, Zymir. Hey, baby. He's going to be 5 tomorrow, by the way. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. But he and I have a special relationship. When I tell you, when we are apart from each other, when we see each other, it's like a reunion. Like we've been gone 5-10 years. We just get to sprinting. I mean, arms wide open. He does his grand leap. I catch him up. Hallelujah. We just hug. I twirl him around. We kiss him. And that's every day. It's the same way. Every day. You know, the rest of the family like, hey. Did you bring the bread? But me and Zymir, I mean, we just love when we see each other. We just can't wait to be in each other's presence. But like my mother did me when I was young, when Zymir has been outside playing in the yard, oh, we don't greet the same way. Come on, I become a ninja. He get ready to jump, and I be like, ha! Go wash your hands. Go wash your hands. You can't get up in my lap like that. No, your hands are dirty. Come on, are y'all getting the picture? Come on. When you've been out there playing in the backyard, don't think you could just come on up in God's presence and jump up in his lap. No, you got to get clean. You got to clean your heart. You got to get under the blood. You cannot do it. We have to honor him. He's a holy God. He's a holy God. Yes. That doesn't mean that my love changed for him, but he wasn't prepared to ascend. Yeah, he wasn't ready to come up. It doesn't mean that I loved him any less. It doesn't mean that our fellowship is broken, our relationship is broken, but there's some things that's got to be put in order. Oh, God Almighty. Yeah. As it is with God, we can't go around touching the unclean things and expect to ascend to the mountain of God. We cannot put other things on the throne of our hearts. And then when we come against a trial, now we want to gain access to stand in his holy place. Now that our back is against the wall. So let us do all that we can to purge our hearts and to ask for forgiveness daily. And lift not our hearts to idol gods. If our hands are dirty, let us wash them under the cleansing flow of the blood of Jesus. Because when we do this, we position ourselves to receive a blessing from the Lord. Position ourselves to receive a blessing. It says so. The scripture says we receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, our Savior. It's right there. Verse 5, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. A sincere running and chasing after God. This is for those that have a seek in their spirit. A seek in their spirit. So what I'm wondering today is, do we really have a seek in our spirits? Do we really have a seek in our spirits? We want to go high in worship, but we don't want to go low and seek God. We want to be all up in here, and we want somebody else to ascend, and we want to get caught up, right? So we all can dance and we all can kick our heels up. And then there's no distinction, right? Yeah. How many of us want to go on a treasure hunt? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Lay everything else aside and say, Lord, I'm running after you. I'm chasing after you. Yeah, I can't wait to get the chance to spend time in your presence. I can't wait to have communion with you. Come on, I want to see the seekers in the house. Come on, I want to identify the seekers in the house. No, don't clap if you don't mean it. I want the seekers in the house. I want to see the ones that are living their lives so that the kingdom of God can be exposed on the earth. I want to see the people that ain't looking for the cars and the houses. Okay, come on, somebody. Right there, cut some folk out. I want to see the seekers in the house. The ones that say, I just want to be in his presence. I just want to feel his glory all over me. I just want to feel his rhema all around me. I just want God. People who are saying, as long as I can see your face, God, I'm good. I'm Gucci. I'm fine. I'm great. I'm set. Come on. Come on. I'm winning. Come on. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm not speaking about titles. I'm speaking about seekers. I'm not looking for position. I'm calling out to the seekers right now. I'm not looking for those that treat God like a sugar daddy. I'm looking for the seekers. Y'all ATM and debit card users, y'all can have a seat. I'm looking for the seekers. I'm looking for the seekers. The seekers. Yeah. Not just the ones that treat God like a genie in a bottle. That was collective. Yeah. Not the genie in the bottle. Let me rub real quick up in here. Hallelujah, God, I need a check. Looking for seekers. A generation that seeks God. A generation that seeks God. Yeah. And if you're not a seeker, you can get in on the cloud right now. Yeah, because we've had some teaching. You can open up your heart and ask the Lord to renew your mind. Transform your mind. Somebody ought to tell God right now, even if you need to whisper, here I am, help me. Help me. Do it in me, God. Release me from bondage. Deliver me from the yokes that bind me. Bring me close, God. I want you above everything. Dig me out and sit down on the throne of my heart. And don't share the seat with anybody else. the whole heart, sit on it, my whole heart, forgive me, cleanse me, and come into this house right now. We're going to take a moment right here and let God know that we are his. All over the building. Just all over the building. If you need to close your eyes, just take a moment. Say, God, I'm yours, Father. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Let God do the work. Let God do the work. I declare a greater seek. A greater seek over this congregation. A greater seek. A greater seek. A greater seek from your belly. A greater seek in this house. That your thirst would only be quenched by God. That your desires will only be met through Almighty God. A greater seek. Fill us up, oh God, in this place. A greater seek. And if you think that you're in the right place, then help me pray for your neighbor. If you feel like you're good, then help me pray for your sister or your brother. Lord, we declare a greater seek. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Father God. Amen. When we come to the final four verses of this text, as we have come under the blood of Jesus, as we have been cleansed, and as we have looked at ourselves and we have found where we walk in error, and we say, God, wash me up. We get to the final four verses of this psalm of praise and adoration, and the focus shifts from the character of the people of the kingdom of God to the King himself. In this hymn of praise, the scene is set for the entrance of the King. There has been singing from the beginning of this processional, and now the king has arrived at the gates of the holy city. There are people from without the gates that sing, lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And then the people inside the gate, they sing back a joyous response. Well, who is this King of glory? And then the first group begins to sing back, oh, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And then they repeat this call and answer the song of praise again, taking great pleasure in testifying that the Lord God Almighty, he is the King of glory. It's a call and answer. It's a call and answer. It's a call and answer. One side says, well, lift up your heads, you gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And then the other ground side says, well, who is the King of glory? Oh, and then the other side says, oh, he's the Lord God, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. They begin to go back and forth with this wondrous chorale. The question is not asked because the people are ignorant of who the king is. They know it full well. They know who this King of glory is. But my question to us today is, do we know who the King of glory is? Do we know? Do we know who the King of glory is? And thank you, Holy Spirit. I know I forgot to give y'all my title. So for those of you who are writing, let the King of glory come in. Let the King of glory come in. Do we know who is this King of glory? I mean, we throw around the vernacular. We throw around the term and, oh, he is the King of glory. Do you know what that really means? Do you know who this King of glory is? Do we know that we are citizens of the kingdom of God? The most glorious kingdom, the most powerful kingdom, the everlasting kingdom. Jesus is not only our Savior and our Lord, but Jesus is also the King of glory. There have been many kingdoms that have come and gone. I just want to know, where is the Babylonian kingdom? Gone. Where's the Assyrian kingdom? Gone. Where's the Persian kingdom? Gone. Where's the Roman kingdom? Gone. But the kingdom of God is still here. Still here. It is the everlasting kingdom. There's nobody who can stop our king or defeat our king or take our king captive or kill our king. Our king reigns forever and ever. Let the King of glory come in. The key to understanding this concept is to have the right definition of glory. Many times we don't know what that means. The King of glory. Can we talk about that word, glory? This glory is the kabod of God. It is the richness and splendor of God, the dignity and reverence of God. And this is the one that I absolutely love. The glory of God is the weightiness of God. It's the heaviness of God. When our king comes on the scene, he comes with weight. Oh, he comes in heavy. And that's why you're compelled to bow down when the King of glory enters the room. Because he comes in with weight. You can't stand under the weight of his glory. It's impossible to contain all of his majesty and splendor. It's indescribable to put into words the richness of the king's glory. You can't stand under it, and neither can any devil that's trying to hold you. Come on, somebody. I want to talk to you real quick about an example in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 when King Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem. The priests had to bring the Ark of the Covenant and place it in the most holy place. And as the priests withdrew from the holy place, the people started lifting up a praise. Let me read it to you in your hearing, because this is what happens when the King of glory is in the room. Beginning in verse 11, it says, "The priests then withdrew from the holy place. All the priests who were there had consecrated themselves, regardless of their divisions. All the Levites who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Judathan, and their sons and relatives, stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to God. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, 'He is good. His love endures forever.' And listen to what happens, saints. It says, 'Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud.' This cloud is a glory cloud of the Lord. And the priests could not even perform their services because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God." When the glory of God enters a room, it bears down on the atmosphere. You can't just be in the presence of the king and not feel something around you. The weight of God's glory breaks the yokes of bondage off your spirit. The glory breaks the chains from your mind. Can't nobody hold you when the king glory enters in. Come on. Can't nothing keep you. Can't nothing bind you. Can't nothing hinder you. Can't nothing stop you. Can't nothing detain you. Can't nothing imprison you when King Glory arrives. I'm talking about the King of Glory. Depression got to lay down under the glory. Chaos got to bow down under the glory. I wish I had a preaching church in here today. Pride, envy, jealousy, and lust. It all has to get down, get down, get down under the glory of God. Every vile and wicked spirit has got to break and get down under the glory of God. Can't no flesh glory in the glory of God. Can't no attitudes glory in the glory of God. Can't no wicked and stinking thinking glory in the glory of God. Can't nothing stand under the weight of the glory of God. But the problem is that the people of God do not understand and do not entertain the glory of God. Don't know how to get into the presence of God. Don't understand that when the glory of God is in your house, your children light up. When the glory of God is in the house, your marriage lights up. When the glory of God is in your house, your mind got to light up. on the goods. We don't care about the glory. If I have the glory, I don't worry about the goods. I don't need the goods. I got the King. I got the King. I know we're far removed from this concept, Pastor, because we never are in the presence of kings. We just see them over TV and we look at Queen Elizabeth, but we don't understand that we have a King. We have a King. We have a King. Everything got to bow down. Somebody ought to holler out, "Let the King of Glory come in." Oh my God, that ain't a holler. Y'all come on, help me preach in here today. I'm doing the best I can. Hallelujah. Somebody help me say, "Let the King of Glory come in." I mean, you're sitting here like you need him. You ought to say it again. Let the King of Glory come in. You know you're being beat up at home. You know you want to get up and say, "Let the King of Glory come in. Let the King of Glory come in." You know you need his presence. You know you need his glory. You know you need him in your house. Hallelujah. When the King of Glory comes into our atmosphere, the atmosphere has to shift. And what was dark has to come into the light. And what was lost now is found. And this is when miracles happen. When the glory of God enters the room, all of a sudden wheelchairs become obsolete. All of a sudden cancer got to die down. Oh my God. When you get into the glory presence of God, that's when we begin to see miracle signs and wonders. When we get into the glory of God. Yeah, I'm talking about the King of Glory. The impossible becomes possible. The doctor's reports are reversed when you're in the presence of the King of Glory. I wish I had some people in here that want the King of Glory. I don't know about anybody else in here, but I need the King of Glory to step into my atmosphere. I need the King of Glory to come into my business. I'm glad that within God I have a Father, and I have a Savior, and I have a Comforter. I have someone who understands my struggles and someone who stands with me in hard times. I'm glad that God walks with me. I'm glad that he fathers me. I'm glad that Jesus is the big brother. But I'm going to tell you, brother, sometimes I need a King. Sometimes I need a King. I don't need nobody to come rub my back and say, "Woo, woo, it's going to get better." No, I need somebody to start coming in there and sticking some stuff. I need somebody to come in there and say, "Wait a minute, she belongs to me. Wait a minute, that's my citizen right there." I need a King sometimes. I need a King sometimes. See, what happens is we stop at Jesus. Jesus is the door to the kingdom. We still shout about Jesus, but don't forget, he's the door to the kingdom. God has given us a kingdom, and he says, "All these rooms are yours. Whatever you need, you hungry? Go in there. There's a feast laid out before you." Like, "No, I'm just here at the door. I'm just here at the door." God says, "Look, I got everything you need. What is it that you need? You need healing? There's the healing room over there." "No, I'm still at the door. I'm still at the door." Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. But we got a kingdom. Our kingdom got the best health care. No, Obamacare is great, but ain't better than the health care in the kingdom. It ain't better than the health care in the kingdom when somebody can just lay hands on you and it just disappear. Blinded eyes begin to see and stopped up ears begin to hear. That's in the kingdom. That's in the kingdom realm. But I need the glory of God. I need it. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I need somebody with some conquering power. I need somebody with some weight. I need somebody with some weight on them sometimes, because something got me so strangled up sometimes. I need somebody to come and break some stuff off. I need a King sometimes. Glory to God. I need the one that ain't never lost a fight. So I just came here to tell somebody today that you don't have to stay in that prison that you're in. You do not have to stay in that prison that you're in. God is here. The King of Glory is here. The King with all power is here. Oh my God. The King that comes to annihilate everything. Hallelujah. That is not for you. You don't have to succumb to the torture and the abuse. All you have to do is work the word, because the word works. All you got to do is work the word, because the word works. When we find ourselves with our backs against the wall, we need to remember that Bermuda ain't got nothing on us. We got a king. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When life begins to take swings at you, just die to falling in the Holy Ghost and reach out to the kingdom of God. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory shall come in. The King James Version says it this way, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The instructions are right there in the text. The formula is already written. The lifting comes before the coming. Ah, Lord Jesus. The lifting comes before the coming. See, Jesus sat at the door of your heart knocking, waiting for you to allow entrance. But I'm here to tell you that the King sits at the door of your trouble, and all he needs is just a little motion. All he needs is just a little movement. All you got to do is just begin to lift up your head. Just begin to lift up your hands. Just begin to lift up your voice. And the King of glory shall come in. All you got to do is just lift. Lift up your heads. Yeah. Now, I researched this. I did all my due diligence. I looked. I said, well, what is this? The gates, the doors. I don't know what all this is. I read it, and don't nobody agree on what it is. They can't nobody pinpoint. Ain't nobody in agreement. Everybody got their own fix. So I just went to Jesus and I said, okay, Holy Ghost, what is it for Word of Life Christian Center? What is it? And I said, I'm going to give it to you like he gave it to me. I'm going to give it to you like he gave it to me. I'm going to give it to you like he gave it to me. That in this, when we lift up our heads, lift up our voices, that the King of glory will begin to come in, and he will take over some stuff in your life. Who needs the King? Who needs the King of glory? Who needs the King of glory? How do you signify that you need the King of glory? How do you call the King of glory? I done already taught y'all in the text. What does it say? It says, lift up ye heads, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Just lift up your voice. Now, in Israel, there's a sound. If anyone's ever heard of a shofar, there's a sound, and it announces the presence of God. It announces that it's time to worship. It announces that we're getting ready to get into the presence of God. I'm here to tell you the King is coming. I'm here to tell you the King is coming. 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 I need more volume, please. That's a shofar. You don't have to wait. The King is coming today. The King is coming in your life today. That's the announcing of God coming into the camp. Everybody in the camp comes out their tent doors. Everybody begins to assemble. Everybody begins to get into position. Everybody begins to stand. Everybody begins to get into worship. Everybody begins to prepare for the entrance of the King. Anybody need a King over here? Anybody need a King over here? Anybody need the King? Come on, what you gonna do? Come on, how you gonna call on the King? How you gonna call on the King? Come on, I need a house of worship in here. Because the King of glory wants to fill this atmosphere right now. The King of glory wants to, come on, don't let me have to do it by myself. I need somebody to press. I need somebody to press with me. I need somebody to press with me. Because we need to experience the King of glory in this place. We need to experience his glory in this place. If you got to separate yourself from your friend, do that. But we need to experience the King of glory in this place. Come on, I can't hear the worshipers. I can't hear the seekers. I don't want to hear your hands clapping. Come on, seek him. Seek him. Lift up your voice. Come on, lift up your voice. Come on, the King is coming. The King is coming. Oh, the King is coming. Your trouble about to end because the King is coming. He get ready to do some dismantling because the King is coming. 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 Oh, 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 the King is coming up in here. The King is coming up in here. You ought to worship God. The King of glory is in the place. The King the glory is in the place. Come on and worship him. What is it that you need? 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 Don't stand there crying. Don't stand there scared. Don't stand there locked in. Don't stand there boxed in. The King of Glory is in the building. 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 The King of Glory. I need some seekers up in here. There's some hurting people in this place that need the King of Glory. There's some hurting people in this place that need the King of Glory. There's some hurting people in this place that need the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, worship. 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 Come on, fill this atmosphere with glory. Fill this atmosphere with wonder. Fill this atmosphere.
Oh God, oh God.